Masechtas Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Aleph, six lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Aleph Beis at the new Mishnah. Before starting the Mishnah, let us explain the way they used to bury corpses, and the Rashbam explains this in detail, that they wouldn't have individual kvarim, and instead families would have catacombs that were used to bury their family members. And let us describe what a catacomb, which was the ancient way that they used to bury people, looked like. There would be many people, which were usually family members, buried in one catacomb, and each individual corpse or mace was buried in its own individual recess or chamber, or what the Mishnah calls kuchen, and we will describe this as best as we can, but in order to make it easier, it is important to look on Daf Kuf Aleph and Aleph at the first picture that is printed in our Gemara in the Rashbam. So there was a central chutzah or courtyard where people who were carrying the corpse would walk into, and they would have room in there for many people to be able to stand and be able to have the urn there and be able to give a hesped, and at least lefi the Rashbam, this chutzah was level with the rest of the area around it and had steps that would lead into underground caves. And although the Mishnah will bring a machlekes between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon, however, the Mishnah will teach us that l'kuli alma, the chutzah was square, and it was 6 amos by 6 amos square, or an area of 36 square amos. However, as we will see, the Mishnah will bring a machlekes regarding two points. Number one, as to how many caves were generally dug around the chutzah, and number two, as to the dimensions of these underground caves. And the Tanakama of our Mishnah will teach us that this chutzah only opened up into two caves, and the chutzah only had entrances to two caves on opposite sides of the chutzah, as you can see in picture number one on Daf Kuf Aleph and Aleph. And the Tanakama holds that the dimensions of each cave was 6 amis long by 4 amis wide, and the side of the caves that was 6 amis long were the two sides that were to the right and to the left of the chutzah, which we will call side 1 and side 3, while the two sides of the cave which were next to the chutzah and directly opposite the chutzah was only 4 amis wide, and therefore each cave was a rectangle that was 4 amis wide by 6 amis long. While Shimon argues in the Tanakama regarding both these points, and he held that the standard catacomb had four caves that were connected to the chutzah, one cave on each side of the chutzah, and Rabbi Shimon also argues on Tanakama, and he holds that the actual dimensions of each cave was 6 amis wide by 8 amis long, and of course the two sides of the cave, which was 6 amis wide, was the side that were attached to the chutzah, as well as the side of the cave that was directly opposite the entrance to the cave from the chutzah, and of course those sides were exactly the same size of the chutzah, and as we mentioned, that all agreed that the chutzah itself was 6 by 6 amos, while the other two sides of the cave to the right and left of the chutzah were each 8 amos long. And you could see a visual of Shitas Rav Shimon in the second picture in the Rashbam on Daf Kuf Aleph and Aleph. And the Rashbam brings from the Tosefta that the height of each cave was 4 amos tall. Now keep in mind that he didn't bury a corpse in the actual cave, as that area was an empty area that people will stand in and maneuver and be able to bury the mace and be able to bury the corpse. Instead, they would dig cavities into the walls of the caves called kuchen, and then they would slide the mace and the urn into these cavities. And of course, as we will see, it is proper covered amaze for the corpse to be lying down and to be in a horizontal position and not in a vertical position. Now, in order to fit a body together with his urn into these cavities, each cavity had to be 1 amma wide by 4 amaze deep and 7 tefachim high. And the Rashbam explains that the width of the body of a person together with the urn takes up an area of an amma, so the cavity had to be 1 amma wide. In addition, the Rashbam explains that a person is approximately 3 amaze tall, so the depth of the cavity had to be 4 amos to account for the height of a person as well as the urn. However, Ayin Taisis, who understands based on the Gemara Masechta Shabbos as well as from the Medrash B'negei of Bnei Haman, that a person is approximately 3 amos until the shoulders, and therefore we still would have to account for a person's head, and therefore he explains that the kuchen were 4 amos deep to account for the body as well as the head of the corpse as well as the thickness of the urn. And as we will see in the Mishnah, that the height of each of these cavities was 7 tefachim tall, and the Rashbam explains that the height of the urn was approximately an amma or 6 tefachim, and therefore the cavity had to be 7 tefachim high in order to be able to easily slip the urn into the cavity, and also in order to make sure that there was airspace of a tefach between the urn and the ground right above the urn in order to stop the tumas hameis from being bekas v'ayla, and to make sure that if someone would walk on top of the area of these kuchen, that they would not become tumas hameis. And Ritva points out that it's muchach from the Gemara in Masechta Sukkah that a live person that is dressed has a depth of 6 tefachim, and therefore an undressed, or as Taisis states, on Daf Kuf Aleph and Aleph, the lightly dressed corpse together with the thickness of the urn would only take up 6 tefachim. Ayin in Taisa Diba Maschel of Raymond Shiva, who discusses the concept of Pesach Tefach, he discusses if it's matzah b'nei tumah only on the derisive level, but midrabbanan a person would still be tamei ayin sham. And Taisa learns differently in the Rashbam, and he explains that the opening of the actual kuchen or the cavity weren't sealed even after they buried a corpse there, and therefore its tumah didn't go upwards at all, and therefore the tumah stayed within the cave, and therefore, even if someone wore walked on top of these kuchen, they would not become tamei meis. Now, in order to make sure that the cave, as well as each cavity, remained strong and stable, they would leave a full amma of ground or of earth between each cavity. However, Rashbam points out that at the edge of each side, they would only need to leave a half amma of space, and that would be enough to make it secure and to make it stable. And therefore, the Lefi Tanakhama and Lefi Rav Shimon, there were different amounts of meisim that could be buried in each cave, and there were different amounts of cavities that could be hollowed out into each individual wall. And once again, you should follow along Adaf Kuf Alef and Aleph in the picture in Rashbam, as the Mishnah will explain that Lefi Tanakhama, they could bury 8 bodies in each cave, as they could hollow out 3 cavities on each of the right and left walls of the caves, which we will call sides 1 and 3 of the cave. They would also be able to hollow out an additional 2 cavities into the wall that was directly across from the entrance to the cave, with the furthest wall away from the chatzah, which we will call wall 2. Now, since we already mentioned that Lefi Tanakhama, wall number 1 and 3 were each 6 amos wide, so they were able to fit 3 cavities on each of these walls, as if you calculate from the edge of the walls of the cave, they would first leave a half of an amma of soil and dirt, and they would then dig a cavity, which, as we mentioned, was 1 amma wide. They would then have another amma of dirt, or what Rashbam refers to as avir, or a space, for the integrity and strength of the walls of the cavities, and then they would continue and build another 2 cavities of an amma each, as well as an amma of space between these 2 cavities. Finally, between the 3rd cavity and the edge of the wall of the cave, they would leave an additional half an amma of dirt for a total of 3 cavities in a 6 amma area. However, the Mishnah will explain that since wall number 2 that was directly across from the chatzah was only 4 amas wide, so we're only able to fit 2 cavities on that wall based on the same calculation as initially between the edge of the wall and the first cavity, they would leave a half an amma of soil. Then, of course, they would hollow out a cavity which was an amma wide, and then another amma of dirt. Then the second cavity was an amma wide, and finally half an amma of dirt, which is a total of 4 amas. So to recap, Lefi Tanakhama, there was a total of 8 cavities of kuchen that were hollowed out into each cave, 3 each on side 1 and 3, and 2 more on side number 2. And since Lefi Tanakhama, each chatzah led into 2 separate caves, so each catacomb had a total of 16 graves. However, the Mishnah will teach us that Lefi Rav Shimon, there were actually 13 kuchen, or cavities, hollowed out into each cave, and there were 4 cavities on each of sides 1 and 3, and then there were 2 on side 2 of the cave, and additional 2 kuchen, which the Mishnah will define as Echem Yumin HaPesach VeEchem Mismol HaPesach, and the Gemara will discuss the exact location of these last 2 kvarim or kuchen. But let's keep in mind, as long as you were following the previous discussion, it is simple to understand where the first 11 graves were located based on the same dimension that we previously mentioned when discussing the Shita of the Tanakhama, and taking into account that Lefi Rav Shimon, side 1 and 3 were each 8 amas long instead of 6 amas according to the Tanakhama, and side number 2 was 6 amas wide instead of 4 amas Lefi Rav Tanakhama. So on the 2 walls of the cave that were 8 amas long, you could fit 4 kvarim or cavities, a half amma for the edge of the wall, and then 4 amas for the width of 4 cavities, and another 3 amas for the space between each of these cavities, and finally another half amma for the edge of the wall, which gives us a total of 8 amas and 4 kvarim, while on side 2, which was directly across from the chatzah, they could fit 3 kvarim and 6 amas based on the same cheshbin, a half amma for each edge, which equals 1 amma, plus an additional 3 amas for the width of each cavity, plus an additional 2 amas for the space between these 3 cavities, for a grand total of 6 amas. And of course, let's keep in mind that Rav Shimon holds that each chatzah opened up into 4 caves, one on each side of the chatzah, and since each cave had 13 kuchen, so there were a total of 52 kvarim in each complete catacomb. And based on this hakdama, let us see the Mishnah, as the Mishnah begins, if Reuven sells a piece of property to Shimon, and they agree that Reuven will make a catacomb for Shimon on that piece of property, or if Shimon already owns a piece of property, and Reuven agrees to actually be employed by Shimon, and to build for him a catacomb on his property, so the Mishnah will now teach us what the standard is, and what a standard makom hakever consists of, and what the dimensions are. And the Tanakhama begins by teaching us what the size of each cave is, and as the Tanakhama teaches us, and as we explain Lefi Tanakhama, the actual opening of the cave is 4 amos by 6 amos, and as we explained, in the area of 4 amos by 6 amos, it's possible to open 8 kuchen or 8 cavities into that area, and as we explained, it's possible to hollow out 3 kuchen or 3 cavities on each of side 1 and side 3, and it's possible to hollow out 2 additional kuchen or cavities into side 2 of the Ma'ara, which, as we explained, is the wall that is directly opposite the Chatzar itself. And keep in mind that this point of the Mishnah is only going with the Tanakhama, and we'll see the Shita Rav Shimon on Daf Kuf Aleph and Aleph, and the Mishnah continues and tells us a din that is relevant both for the Tanakhama and for Rav Shimon, that the Kuchin, Orkun Abba Amis, Vroyman Shiva, Vrochban Shisha, that the following are the dimensions of the actual Kuchin or the actual cavities, as the length of each of the cavities would be 4 Amis in order to fit the height of a person who was lying down horizontally, and the height of each cavity was 7 Tfachim or 1 Amma plus 1 Tefach. And as we explain with Fida Rashbam, that a person's body, as well as the actual thickness of the Aron, takes up 6 Tfachim, they would leave an additional Tefach in order to make sure that the actual body and Aron would be able to slide into the cavity easily. As we already mentioned, and Rashbam mentions on the bottom of the Amid, the Gamlius Avit Tefach Ben Akakal Aron, Shalel Tamiya Oivim Derech Amara. And finally, the width of each cavity was 6 Tfachim or 1 Amma wide, as the width of a person's body, together with the thickness of the Aron itself, would take up 6 Tfachim. As we mentioned, Tosis at the top of Daf Kufal from Nalef and Dibur Maskel of Rachman Shisha states, that the person himself takes up a full amah, that's when he's dressed completely. But a corpse that is not completely dressed, and even together with the thickness of the urn, it would only take up the space of an amah. And Ayin Tesis Day brings Raya to this point from the dinim of a mikvah. And let's continue on Daf Kuf Aleph from Aleph with the Shita Rav Shimon. Although the Tanakhama stated that the size of each of the caves was 4 amos by 6 amos, however, Zokh Rav Shimon, the actual size of the cave itself is 8 amis long on side 1 and 3, and the cave was 6 amis wide on side 2 and 4, which, as we previously explained, refers to those walls that were parallel to the chatzah. And Rav Shimon continues that since I hold that the actual area of the cave was 6 by 8 amis, therefore, that it's possible to hollow out in the walls of the cave up to 13 cavities and 13 kuchen, abom mikan v'abom mikan, 4 cavities each on side 1 and 3, as we explained, and you were able to hollow out 3 kuchen or 3 additional cavities on wall number 2, which was directly across and parallel to the chatzar, the echem yimin ha-pesach ve'echem ben ha-smol, and then you would make 1 additional cavity on the right and the left of the door, and the Gemara will explain exactly what this refers to. And the Mishnah continues with the din that both the Tanakam and Rav Shimon agree to, v'oitzeh chatzar piyam ora sheish al sheish k'molei amita v'karea, that Reuven has to make a chatzar which will lead into each of the caves, which will be 6 amos by 6 amos wide. This amount of space was necessary in order to be able to fit the mita where the mace was lying, as well as those people that came to bury the mace. The Mishnah now continues with the second machlekes between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon, that the Tanakam holds b'seichel teichah shteim oris achas mikan v'achas mikan. Reuven has to deliver to Shimon 2 caves that have entrances from the chatzar, and as we can see in the first picture in the Rashbam and Daf Kuf Aleph from Aleph, one of these caves will be to the right of the chatzar, and one will be to the left of the chatzar. For example, one will be to east or west, or an alternative, one could be to the top of the chatzar, and one to the bottom of the chatzar, and one could be to the north, and one could be to the south. The main point of the Tanakhama is that it was not the derech to make more than 2 caves per chatzar, and as Rashbam states, for achshiv yuchlu neisei mita lovi mekanu mekanu, and that's dodin she'ein shama or lo chatzar v'lo yudarsin al gabim oris. As in this way, when people were coming to this area in order to bury a mace, they would be able to walk through those areas that are next to the chatzar that did not have any kuchen that were built into them, as there were no ma'aris on those 2 sides, and this way people weren't standing on top of kuchen for a long time. And of course, if they would do so, then it would be a chesaron and covered a mace. The Mishnah continues that although the Tanakhama holds that all that Reuven would be responsible to build is only 2 caves, however, Shimon states Abola Abaruch Yisrael, that Reuven would be responsible to actually build 4 caves to each of the 4 sides of the chatzar, and Shimon is not concerned that there may be people that will step on top of these kuchen while they're walking towards the chatzar in order to go and bury other mesim, as lemaisa they're not going to stand on top of the kever for a long time, and therefore he doesn't consider that a chesaron and covered a mes. And finally, the Mishnah teaches us that although we just stated that according to Tanakhama, the maximum amount of kuchen that you could create in this area of the cave is 8 kvarim, and according to Rav Shimon, you could create 13 kuchen. However, Zok Rav Shimon Gamliel, that it's really dependent on how strong the land and the karka around this area is. As if it's very strong karka and the soil is very good quality and it's very solid, then you actually could create more kuchen, as lemaisa you won't need so much space between each of the kuchen in order to create stability. And as Rashbam states, a kuchen koi, ashim a karka chazuk in tzar chefesh amma ben kuch l'koch b'koysel, l'fi Rav Shimon v'oisi yoysim y'gud gum kuchen v'msela b'bidayim. However, if the soil is very thin and it's very weak and it crumbles very easily, then you must leave even more than an amma between each of these kuchin, each cavity. Even if you have shimin, where you have an area of space of 6 amas by 8 amas, you may only be able to hollow out 4 or 5 cavities. Therefore, Zokrab Shimon Gamliel, Umishim Kabalasis Kabal Chavere in Cheshvin Kuchin, Elofi Chesakaka, Yerba or Yumai Kuchin, Venir Beinai Damaris Namikoi, and Rashbam points out that this din of Shimon Gamliel also was referring to the actual caves that Kolofi Asela Yasim Aris Habim Kolzad, depending on the quality of the soil that's in this area, that is how many caves you will be able to create in this area, Ayin Shom. Before we continue with the Gemara, let us see the Rashbam, Viva Maschel Voice Chotza, which begins on the 4th of the wide lines at the top of the Amid. Rashbam states, Bein Amoich Mokum Chaver, Lassus Kava, Bein Makava, Lassus Chaver Kava, Tzorch Lassus Chotza, Maigla, Piamara, Mokum Pony, Vav, Vav, Vav. And as we explained that Gemara, that the actual Chotza was above the Ma'ara and was not on the same level of the caves. There was a doorway that was built into the Chotza, and there were steps from the Chotza that would lead down into the Ma'ara and into the cave. However, Ayin and Taisa deal in Aschav, Isa Chotza, Pesach Ma'ara, and Taisa first brings down, like the Rashbam, that Kam Mashma Shah Chotza Gavoyim in Ma'ara, and he brings a Raya from our Gemara, but then he asks a question from the Gemara, Mesech the Saita, that's Mashma Shayna Chotza Shavim, Kaka Ilam, Ala Omok, that's Mashma that the Chotza was actually deeper than the actual level of the standard ground, the Tzorach Lachla is Kashiyotzim Menu, and when leaving the Chotza of a basic forest, you would actually have to climb up, and therefore we see that the Chotza was actually not on ground level, V'chein Perisha Kuntra Sham, and that is actually how Rashi explains the Gemara over there, and Texas states, V'yishleim in the Afal Pisha Chotza Muka, Hamara Muka Yimeno, that in the Chinami, there were 3 levels. There was the actual ground of the standard Kaka, and it was ground level. Then you would climb down a couple of steps into the Chotza, which was lower than ground level, and then from the Chotza, you would actually climb down even further and go into the caves. And in Rashi, Mesech the Saita, on Daf Memdal Medal, who states, V'yisa Gumu Rechava B'tzadam Ara, U'peseach Piyam Ara, L'techa Gumu B'kaisalam Ara, K'min Pesach, V'yisa Gumu Hi Chotza Kever, and therefore we see that Rashi holds that the Chotza Kever was actually lower than ground level, as Taisus pointed out. And also, let us see the Rashbam that begins 8 lines from the end of the narrow lines of Rashbam, and Rashbam states, V'lek lefushe p'seach l'techa shtei ma'ariz ba'am mehachta l'el d'havlu gimel. We can explain that the Shita of Tanakama is that Reuven would actually have to build 3 ma'ariz and 3 caves per chotza. In this way, you still have an open area on the 4th side of the chotza where people could walk. The people that were coming to bury Mesim would not have to walk on top of Kuchin. Although the Mishnah states, p'seach l'techa shtei ma'ariz achas mekan v'achas mekan, which is mashma, you only had 2 ma'aris that opened up into 1 chotzer. However, it would be possible to explain that the Mishnah is teaching us that aside from the first cave that we already mentioned on Daf Kuf Amud Beis, were an additional 2 caves, which would then total 3 caves. And Rashbam explained that this can't be pshat in the Tanakama, the Bachin Begamora, the Leitema, Hidal, Ma'aris, Rabshimon, Hechi, Avilu, the Isa, and if this would be true, Hachinami, Avimatzalak Shuya, he Kushya Atzmon, Begum, Ma'aris, Rabbanon, then the Gemara could have asked this question on the Tanakama as well. And Rashbam continues and is bothered as to the order of the Mishnah itself, as why did the Mishnah start and discuss 1 cave, and then discusses the actual dimensions of the Chotza, and only afterwards discusses the 2nd Ma'ara according to Tanakama, and the 3rd and 4th Ma'ara according to Rav Shimon, and Zok Rashbam, V'hod Tanal El Ma'ara, V'achin Chotza, V'achin Ma'ara Shnei Shechenegda, and this is because the Hechi Lisni, as there's no other way to write the Mishnah, as if they would write, Oysi Chotza, Peseach Techa Beis Ma'aras, V'aloi In Kari Chotza, Ashi Yaset Chilha Ma'ara, Shechotza Lefnea, as an area cannot be called a Chotza until it has something that's been Mishtamish, and as we know, a Chotza B'fnei Abayis is used for Shtamshus of Abayis, and a Chotza Kever is used for Shtamshus of Amara. Therefore, we first had to discuss the concept of the caves and the dimensions of the caves, and only afterwards could we discuss the Chotza, and as Rashbam states, in Kari Chotza, Dovashu Knesis Bayis, a Knesis Ma'ara. And finally, before we begin Gemara, let us look in the 2nd picture that we find in Rashbam, which is a picture of the Chotza and the 4 Ma'aris according to the Shita of Rav Shimon. And as you can see, that in each Ma'ara, the 2 kfarim that are closest to the Chotza on side 1 and on side 3 are all overlapping with the kuchin that are right next to it, in the Ma'ara that is perpendicular to that Ma'ara. And certainly it's impossible to have all those bodies that would be able to fit into these cavities if they were actually going into each other, and the Gemara will discuss this point. And the Gemara now begins and discusses the Shita of Rav Shimon, as Rav Shimon explained that you create 13 cavities in each cave. Rav Shimon stated, Abba Mikan, Va'abba Mikan, that there were 4 cavities that were hollowed out, each of wall 1 and wall 3, and then there were another 3 cavities that were hollowed out on wall 2, which gave us a total of 11 cavities. However, Rav Shimon continued and gave gave us a description of the next two cavities, and as he stated, ve'echem yamina pesach ve'echem nasmal, you then hollowed out one cavity on the right of the doorway and one on the left of the doorway. And the Gemara asks, hani trei lehechishadalu, that where do you place these two cavities? At this point, the Gemara's havmin is that you would actually hollow out an area to the right and the left of the doorways of the chatzar. These two cavities would actually be hollowed out to the right and left of side four, and they would actually be hollowed out to the area that was underneath the chatzar itself. The Gemara therefore asks, ilavroi, that if you're going to hollow out these cavities and they would be going towards the outside of the caves and underneath the chatzar itself, hamakazmustashilu, the lemaisa, when people were standing in the chatzar itself, they would actually be standing on top of these quorum for a long period of time. And although Rav Shimon didn't have a problem of having four caves which were on all four sides of the chatzar, and therefore when people would be walking towards the chatzar in order to go and bury a mace, certainly they would walk on top of quorum. However, since people weren't standing still, therefore Rav Shimon did not feel that that's a chassar and a covered on mace. However, in our case, where people would be standing in the chatzar for a while they were metapel with the mace, while they were standing and hearing haspedim, even Rav Shimon would agree that that would be a chassar and a covered on mace. And as Rashbam states, Shemashiv and Sham Hamita, O Mishtoy and Sham Harbe, Vilidomi Ludrisas Noise Hamita, Shedorsan Al Gabi Ma'uris, Ham Kafis Bikot Sad, Kshemaviz Hamita Lechatzah. And as we explained, the Hasan Bishvil Hil Hilfi Shah, like Kapod Rav Shimon, and Gemara continued, Visu, and even if you're going to tell me that Rav Shimon is not Makbid, that people would stand on top of Kvarim, he doesn't consider that a Chesaron and Kavod Ameis, but Hatnan, but we learned in the Mishnah, Mesechtes Olois, Chatzah Keva, Im Betech Ritar, that if someone goes into the Chatzah that is between the Ma'uris of the Kever, and he gets there by going in a Shida Tevel Migdal, and therefore he did not become Tamei Meis, and now he's standing in the Chatzar, then he would not be considered Tamei, as there is no Tumas HaMeis underneath the Chatzar. And as Rashbam states, the Ein Kan Koch, as there are no cavities that are underneath the Chatzar, and if it would be true that they would actually hollow out a four Amma cavity underneath the Chatzar, then certainly the person that was walking in the Chatzar would become Tamei, because it would be Mael HaMeis. And even the Rashbam previously stated that they created a chalal tefach on top of every single Aron in order to make sure that people would not become Tamei Meis. However, that is only a din d'oraisa, but midrabbanan, the person would still be Tamei. This explanation that we just brought from Rashbam is based on the girsa of our Gemara, that we had a girsa ilavroi hakamistashilu v'su atnan chotza keva im b'teich ritar, ilagavoi hakamistashilu and ilavroi hatnan chotza keva im b'teich ritar, and ayin Rabbeinu Gershom, who had this girsa, and ayin Rashbam, why he doesn't like this girsa, ayin Sham. Gemara continues and explains, Amar Beis Rabbeinu da avilahu kiminagar, and when Rav Shimon stated, echem yamina pesach ve'echem nasmal, you actually didn't place these kvarim in the same way that the other kvarim were placed. Instead of hollowing out a cavity which was horizontal like the other 11 cavities, these last two cavities were actually dug down into the ground, and they made a cavity which was vertical into the ground. And instead of the mace lying in a horizontal position, the mace would actually be standing up and be in a vertical position. And these two cavities were placed on either side of the door. And as Rashbam explains, the Avolok Minagar Minol Shel Pesach Zokov Shiyarim Umay Lamato, like the lock of a door that gets put into the ground and gets secured within the ground. That is done by putting a stick or some sort of a peg into the ground vertically. Kain Osa Shnei Kuchim Shnei Tzida Pesach Zekufin Kamin Bora Mukin Dal Ramas Or Chavin Zayin Alvav V'Nosan Amesim Zekufin Over Samal Kaisal Chasa Asan Shuma Hu Porto Loi Mistashi She'im Miskarvin Kolkach Achriya Pesach, as people would not stand in the area that was so close to the back of the door that was used as an exit from the Ma'ara to the Chatzar and as an entrance from the Chatzar to the Ma'ara. The Gemara now continues and asks that how could Rabbi Yisrael B'chanina explain that the way that it would actually hollow out the last two cavities was vertically instead of horizontally, but Va'am Rabbechan, but Rabbechan stated, we continue on Daf Kuf Aleph and Aleph, Kfuris Chamarim Huzu, that if you bury a mace in a vertical position, that is as if you're burying a donkey, and that is a bezoyin hamace. And as Rashbam states, Shemashlichim a bar, just like you would throw a chamar into a bar, and you don't give it proper covet, so by burying a human body in a vertical position, that's as if you're burying it in a manner that you would bury a donkey, and it's a bezoyin hamace. Gemara continues and states that in Chanami, Rabbechan, the Avulhu Bekaran Zavis, and Lefi Rabbechan, when Rav Shimon stated, Echem Yimina Pesach, Echem Nasmal, he isn't referring to the actual wall that is on the side of the Chatzah, and he isn't referring to wall number four, but instead he's referring to wall number two, which is the parallel wall to the Chatzah that is directly opposite to the Chatzah and the furthest away from the Chatzah. And these last two Kfarim were hollowed out into the wall in a diagonal manner, and this way they created two additional cavities in each of the Maris, and therefore, Lefi Rav Shimon, you have a total of 13 cavities, If we go back to Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph and we look at the second picture, which is the picture of all four of these caves, as well as the Chatzah, according to Shita Rav Shimon, we can now understand the placement of all 13 of these kuchin and of the cavities much more fully, according to Rav Shimon. The Gemara continues and asks on this teretz, V'nagi kuchin ladadi. And if you look at picture number 2 on Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph, although as these two corner kuchin spread out, they get further and further from other kuchin and from the other cavities. However, as they get closer to the actual ma'ara, they're right next to the other cavities, and they actually go into the other cavities. Therefore, how would it be possible to actually slip in another body into that cavity? And as we previously stated, the body of a mace, together with its zarin, takes up an amma of space, and at the corner, you wouldn't have a full amma, as the diagonal of a half an amma by a half an amma area is certainly much less than an amma, and therefore, how could it be possible to say that one would be able to create these additional kuchen at the corners of each of these ma'aris? Before we continue with the Teretz of Gemara, let us remember that Rashbam mentioned from the Tosefta that the height of each of these ma'aris was 4 amas, and therefore Amar Rav Ashi b'maimik, that Rav Ashi states to the Inachinami, in order to actually create these additional 2 kuchen, they would actually put them at a different level than the rest of the kuchen, the rest of the graves. And for example, the 11 kuchen were actually formed by hollowing out an area in the cave. The cavity began 2 amas off of the ground of the cave. The top of that cavity was therefore 3 amas plus 1 tefach off of the ground of the kever. So these last 2 kuchen, which were formed at the corner of the caves, they actually started being hollowed out from a point that was a half a amma from the bottom of the karka of the cave, and they were also 7 tefachim high, and therefore they ended 1 amma and 3.5 tefachim off of the ground, which is 1.5 amas plus a tefach, and therefore none of these cavities would touch any other cavities. Rashbam is bothered that if you could make different levels of kuchen, so then why do Rav Shimon say that all you could have is 13 kuchen? We should also be able to stagger other kuchen, and instead of only having 11 kuchen under other 3 walls, you should be able to have an additional 11 kuchen, potentially in each cave. According to Rav Shimon, you should be able to have a total of 24 graves or 24 kuchen in each cave. And Rashbam explains the Dibur Maskel b'Maimik, L'fikach Oisa Oisa L'Nsham, Shekom Mashenuchza Koch Shabekarim B'Kako, Misrach Min HaKuchen Shemikana Mikan Habe. And when you're creating these kuchen in the corners, then there still will be stability, even when you stagger the kvarim, and even though you're going to hollow out a space underneath the cavities that had the top kvarim, but that won't be a problem, as the kuchen that are on the sides, they're actually spreading out further and further away from the cavities, and therefore you're not taking away so much of the integrity of the kaka, and it won't weaken the walls of the kuch that much, and it won't cave in. As although you'll stagger the kuchen, and they won't be directly one on top of the other, but they're so close together, but certainly that will cause a weakening in the integrity of the actual kuchen, and they will potentially cave in, and therefore Rav Shimon holds that all you could make is 11 kuchen on the sides, and 2 additional kuchen from the corners. And Gemara continues that Rav Ashi proves his point, that according to Rav Shimon, certainly you could stagger kvarim, as if you would not say this, according to Rav Shimon, how could actually have 4 separate caves on 4 sides of the chatzeris? If you have Shimon, you'd be able to have 11 kvarim that are around the 3 walls of each of these caves. As we can see in the second picture on the Kuf Alpha Manav, and as we previously explained, that the last 2 cavities that were hollowed out on side 1 and side 3 of each cave will actually be going into the airspace and to the hollowed out portion of the cavities in the neighboring ma'aris, and therefore certainly that would not work. And how could Rav Shimon say that you'll be able to form and hollow out 13 kvarim in each of these 4 ma'aris? Therefore, the Gemara explains, Ela b'maimik, it must be that Rav Shimon was teaching us that you're able to go and stagger kvarim, and in this case, it would also not be a problem of the integrity of the cavities, since it's only a small portion of each of these kvarim that are going underneath the kvarim that are in the neighboring cave that is perpendicular to these kvarim. Just like we see that Rav Shimon, we have to explain the hollowing out kvarim at different levels, b'negiyah these kvarim, so therefore, b'negiyah these kuchen that were formed at the corners of these caves and were formed at the Karen Zavis, they were also staggered since they weren't hollowed out at the same level of the other kvarim and the other cavities. Therefore, they wouldn't affect the integrity of the other kvarim, and the other kvarim would not weaken and would not cave in. Before we continue, let's see Taisis Dibur Maskel the Avalukim Minagar. Even though we have the memory of Rabbi Echron that Kfuris Chamarim Yizu certainly is not a tiyufta to Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Chanina, as Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Chanina certainly could argue on Rabbi Echron, and he could hold that you could bury a person in a vertical position. However, Taisis Bahadur Tam B'Seif Nazar We see that a person has to be buried lying down and not sitting, and therefore we have a question of Rabbi Yisrael Chanina from a Mishnah. However, Taisa explains Rabbi Yisrael Chanina the Hacha Dafka Yoshev Mayit V'Loy Oimid, that in the Chanami that Gemara is only coming to a Mayit that you can't bury someone sitting. Rabbi Yisrael Chanina would not consider Chesar and Kavod Ameis by burying a person standing. Therefore, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina states the Avalukim Minagar, that according to Rabbi Shimon, these last two Kvarim were hollowed out in a vertical manner, and the mace was actually buried vertically instead of horizontally. And let's see Taisa's Dibur Masel, the Avalu B'Karen Zavis, where he's really bothered by the same point of the Rashbam, and the Lashon of Taisa is a bit clearer than Rashbam, as Taisa states, V'im Taimak, Kivin Shu Maimik, Amai Tzorch, Shiyasa B'Karen Zavis, Yasa B'Rechav Amara, Oy Bo'erch Amara, Ben Kuch L'Kuch, Ba'am Shem Ben Taim, V'yamik, and one should be able to create additional cavities as long as they're staggered. And Taisa answers, V'ish Lema, L'fish Hoi Mekalkal Kois Lam Ora, V'yakaku Neufel, V'akuchen Hoi Miskalklin, Hoi L'vizeh Kuch Shem Maimik, Hoi L'chbaisit Tzad, Shishak Kuchen Hochen, Alba Karen Zavis, Eino Kain, which is similar to the way to Rashbam explained Al Gemara. The Gemara now continues and tries to bring another explanation as to how these kuchen were formed according to Rab Shimon in order to make sense of the Mishnah that stated Lefi Rab Shimon, one is able to hollow out 13 cavities in each cave, and as the Mishnah stated, Abom Mikan, Vabom Mikan, Vishleshim Chenegdon, Vechem Yumina Pesach, Vechem Nasmal. The Gemara was bothered that even if we don't have to deal with the placement of the last two kuchen and the last two cavities that were mentioned by Rab Shimon, but we still have to deal with the fact that even the two kuchen that were closest to the chatzar and which were on side one and side three of each ma'ara would overlap cavities in the ma'ara that was right next to it and that was perpendicular to it. And how could Rav Shimon fit 13 kuchen in each of these caves? Ma'ara tells us, Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua Amar, Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua explains, Abar Ma'aras Rav Shimon, the Avalhu Kichurusa, that according to Rav Shimon, the cavities in each of these caves were actually not placed perpendicular to each wall, but instead they were placed on an angle to each wall and they looked like the branches of a palm tree. And as we could see in the third picture in the Rashbam on Daf Kuf Aleph from a Beis, in the Rashbam that points out Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua Amar Mehochalei Tifshoit, you can't bring a riot that you staggered any kfarim from the point of Rav Shimon that he stated that you could have four ma'aris as the loyim shoven hein ve'in maimik, as really they were all on the same level and they weren't staggered. And even so, none of the kuchen would actually touch each other, as even though they weren't staggered, the ma'isa they all fanned out like the branches of a luluv or the branches of a palm tree. And as Rashbam states, asuyin ha'kuchen shel shtei ma'aris ba'lachsin kichari shel dekel kazeh, and he references picture 3 on the side of the Rashbam. And the Gemara responds, v'hadra Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua b'rusahi, that this member of Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua is an outside member and it's not really a genuine member, as it's impossible Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua would say this, as we will show that this actually doesn't make any sense physically and mathematically. And therefore, the Rashbam points out, v'le misuk b'd Rav Shimon el b'maimik, and therefore the only way to explain the sheet of Rav Shimon as to how you could place all these kvarim in all four caves that surround the chatzah is only by explaining that if you have Shimon, you could place them on different levels and you could stagger the kvarim, and therefore we would explain the same idea but again the two cavities that were on the corners of each of the caves. And as we stated, the Avalu B'Karen Zavis, that they actually weren't on the same level as the other cavities and the other kvarim, but they were actually hollowed out at a different point in the wall, and therefore you were able to fit in an additional two kvarim. And if you have Shimon, there was a total of 13 kvarim. And the Gemara now continues and explains why this member of Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua has to be Berusa. Let us see, call Amsa Birbua, Amsa Vitrechum Shiblachsaino. And as we know that if we have a square that's 1 amma by 1 amma, then its diagonal will be 1 amma and 2/5, or 1.4 amas. Lamaisa, according to the waiter of Huna Beit Rav Shua explained the sheet to Rav Shimon, you would have to fit a total of 9 cavities that were hollowed out into the walls of the ba'aris that were right next to each other and that were perpendicular to each other. And these kvarim would have to fit within the diagonal that is formed by the two walls that are right next to each other and that are each 8 amos long. And since each of these walls are 8 amos long, so the diagonal would be 8 amos times 1 amma and 2/5 of an amma, which of course is 8 amos times 1.4 amos, and therefore you get a total of 11.2 amos, or 11 amos and 1/5 of an amma. And as the Gemara states, Kamal Havalu, what is the size of this diagonal? Chatzoy v'chumsho, it's 11 amos and 1/5 of an amma. And Kuchen Kamal Havalu Tamni, and according to Rav Shimon, you have to be able to fit 4 cavities on each of these walls for a total of 8 kuchen or 8 cavities. And Tamid b'chatzor v'chumsho hechem ishkachaslo, and certainly you can fit 8 kvarim in an area that's 11.2 amos. And as we explained previously, that the width of each individual cavity is 1 amma, and since we have have 8 kuchen, so therefore you have a total of 8 amos, and the space between each of these cavities would also be 1 amma for another 7 amos, which would be a total of 15 amos, and you need a half amma for each side wall, and that would be an additional amma. So in order to fit all of these kuchen, you need at least 16 amos, and the diagonal is a total of only 11 and 2/5 amos. Therefore, the Gemara states, Ahad Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua Barusi, so it must be that this member of Huna Beit Rav Shua is actually not a genuine member, and therefore the only way to explain the Shita of Shimon is only if the cavities of the neighboring caves would actually be at different levels, and they must have been staggered. Therefore, if you're a Bechron, we could also state that the Avalu Bekaren Zavis, and they were also staggered. The Gemara now continues to be by Seymour, and if you want, I could give you another teretz as to how to explain the Din and the Shita of Shimon, and you don't have to explain that we're talking about a case where the graves were staggered at all, and the cavities were at the corners, and the Karen Zavis were not staggered, and they were at the same level as all the other cavities, and the cavities that were closer to the Chatzah were not staggered either, and they were all on the same level. Even though we were bothered that L'chayr L'fi Rav Shimon, the corner Kfarim would actually touch and would interfere with the Kfarim that were on the other sides of the Mara, and we also pointed out that the Kfarim that were close by to the Chatzah would then go directly into the other Kfarim that are in the adjoining Chatzah and the neighboring Chatzah. However, the Gemara explains that even though that they weren't staggered, but could Rav Shisha B'Rid Rav Idi B'Niplei Hachanam B'Niplei, that just like Rav Shisha B'Rid Rav Idi will explain later on in our sugya, that we are discussing cases where they buried a Nephil and they buried a stillborn child. And similarly, these added Kfarim that Rav Shimon added in the corners were actually only used for Nephilim, and therefore they were able to be much more narrow and they would be able to fit into the corners. It wouldn't break into the airspace of the other Kfarim that were right next to it. And similarly, the Kfarim that were close to the Chatzah were also only used for Nephilim, and therefore they didn't have to be as deep and they didn't have to be hollowed out to the depth of 4 amos, and instead they could be much shorter, and therefore each of these Kfarim would not touch each other and would not go into the airspace of the other. And as Rashbam states, V'yasenu katzul tzerich losi shev nefalim v'kivin katzu, as since it's a short kever, ain't a mazik kol kach l'kuch gadol shev tzidai, so it won't be mazik the larger kuch that's right next to it, el shehi mashu kaisel b'in time, as long as there will be a small amount of space between them. V'asir Rav Shimon l'arir, the minig b'in a kever, lasi shem shnei kuchel and tzerich nefalim, and Rav Shimon comes to teach us that the minig was that when you would create kfarim, you would also make sure to hollow out these two additional cavities so that it could be used as kfarim for nefalim and for stillborns. Similarly, the Rashbam continues, Rav Shimon nami hakuchen shehim b'techa abba ame shel ma'ara shenis kivri nefalein, they were only used for nefalim, shein erkan el chetzi amma, the length of a keva for a stillborn is only a half a amma and not 4 abes long, and mehilkach in kuchen halalu nechnasan l'tech erkan, and therefore each of these kuchen do not interfere with the airspace of the other. And lefi zeh, we don't have to explain that the only way that the Shita Rav Shimon works is if the kfarim are staggered. And let's keep in mind that although the Gemara stated that the diagonal of a square that's 8 amos by 8 amos would be 11.2 amos or 11 and a fifth of an amma, however, we now have a formula to figure out the dimensions of a diagonal of a square or of a rectangle. And the formula is d squared equals length squared times width squared. And therefore, when you have a square that's 8 amos on each side, so it would be 8 amos squared by 8 amos squared equals the diagonal squared. And therefore, 128 amos equals the diagonal squared. And the square root of 128 is 11.31, which is actually a little bit more than 11.2. And certainly, even though the Gemara knew this, the Gemara is able to say 11.2, as the Gemara states in Masechta Sukkah, that L'chumra Le'dok, that since by saying 11.2, that's actually a bigger chumra than by saying the actual amount, which is 11.31, so L'chumra Le'dok, and we will stop over here.